Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. It is Christmas Eve, and I am here live and in person. People keep asking me, I said, I'm going to be on the radio tonight live. And they kept saying, you're coming on the radio on Christmas Eve? And the answer is yes. I always come on. Whenever my radio show comes on Christmas Eve, I come on the air. And it's happened two times in the about 20 years. I had a seven-year stint in the 90s, and then this is about the seventh year, actually, since I came back on the air in 2006, and it's Christmas Eve. So here I am. I'm going to come on and do a show. And tonight I'm going to do a special show, and the special show that I'm going to do tonight, I'm not taking any callers. I'm just going to do a show, and the show that I'm going to talk about is, what do you learn when your best friend dies unexpectedly? That's the show, and that is part of the story that has happened in my life in 2014. And I have with me tonight the sons of my best friend, and I have Charlie. Charlie, can you say hi?
Hey.
And I have James.
Good evening.
And I have Tim.
Good evening as well.
Anyway, actually we're using aliases for them because I'm not going to mention the name of my friend. Because, you know, as a financial advisor, I deal with a lot of people who have had family members pass away. And you will be amazed at the wickedness of what people do to families to try to scam for money and so forth. So that's why we've decided that we're just going to talk in, you know, about, but not actually specifically mention the names of the family and the gentleman here with me. Those are excellent names. Each one means something to them. And matter of fact, Tim, that's an alias for your writing talents and so forth, right? And you don't have to go into that anymore. Yeah, you want to?
Sure, I'll enter into that. Well, yeah, I've written a couple books, and they're on Amazon.
At 12 years old, that's an incredible feat.
Exactly.
Yeah, and one of them is called Provincial Pardon, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it's a pleasure.
It's good to have you here, Tim.
Thank you,
anyway,
sir.
So what do you learn when your best friend dies unexpectedly? And we're going to start off in this first 15, 20 minutes of the show until about 6:30. We're just going to talk about the practical things. What are the practical things that you learn? And the very first one that hits me as, as I've thought about this issue is always make sure that your family knows, your spouse especially, knows where the bills are, how the bills are done, and, you know, how to get online. That's a big thing nowadays. How do you get your passwords? How do you get online? Where do you do bill pay and so forth? And I honor my friend because he and his wife always, always did the bills together. It was a treat for the two of them to, as a partnership, to do it together. As a couple, they did it. They each knew, they did it together. And that's the way that, whether you do it that way or not is not 100% important that you do it the way they did it, but you need to do it in a way that you're absolutely confident that your spouse will know how to do it if you're the primary financial person in the family. As in my family, I do the bills in the family, but I know that there is a plan in place that if anything ever happened to me, my spouse would know exactly what to do because I have already laid out plans for that. So that's a very big, important thing, the practical thing of knowing where the bills are, how they're paid, and nowadays all the digital things that go along with bill paying and finances, online logins and so forth. That's such a critical element about, you know, the practical things that you can do to be, you know, ready for an unexpected event that would happen in somebody's life. Now, the second one that comes to mind is one of the things that probably is one of the greatest irritants. I got to watch myself here, you know. I'm sure if my associate Tim McCarthy, if my associate Mike McCarthy is listening, he's like trembling right now. Oh, no, what's he going to say? But one of my biggest irritants is that I can't tell you how many people come to, you know, people come to see us and they do the financial physical or they do an action plan. It's the service that we provide. Our firm is a fee-only financial advisor. And when we work with people, we're looking at risk management. And risk management is the concept of looking at, well, what if this risk were to occur? What would be the cost or what would be the financial impact on a family if this risk were to occur? And how do we mitigate the risk to some degree? And then how do we determine whether we should insure it or not or whether we should self-insure it? And if we're going to insure it, what is the most cost-effective, efficient way to insure it? Well, with that said, I can't tell you how many financial physicals I do, and I get absolutely frustrated because most people who come in the door, they did not have the proper risk management plan in place, and then there's two reasons for that. One reason, number one, is that agents who predominantly sell insurance do not feel that they can make a living if they did what I believe would be the most cost-effective way for people to insure this type of a risk. And second, because of the consumer is so focused on the idea of, I want to make sure that if nobody ever passes away, then I'm going to get my money back. You know, so many consumers think about that idea. They look at an insurance as an investment thing. They look at it as a, if I put my money in, I want to be sure I'm going to get something back out of it. That is not the way insurance is supposed to work. And because of that, you open up the window for people to promote the wrong type of insurance that leaves the risk improperly insured. Now, I'm going to go into that a little more, but right now I have to take a pause, and we're going to come back after this pause on Christmas Eve, and we're going to talk about what do you learn when your best friend unexpectedly passes away with money, riches, and wealth. So we're going to go to this pause, take it away. Traffic? Do we have traffic, Bethany? Bethany tonight. That's a great name. I like that, Bethany. All right, Bethany, take it away.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul fell.
my favorite Christmas carols right there. Oh, Holy Night. Or is it, actually, is that the name of Holy Night? I'm not good with music. I know I love that song. I don't know its names very well. Anyway, we're here on Money, Riches, and Wealth, and it's Christmas Eve. And we're talking about the situation that happened 2014. We'll go down in infamy, as they say, in my life, as it was a year that unexpectedly my best friend passed away, and and dealing with that and the practical issues and what do you learn? What do you learn when that happens? And we're talking about the practical things right now in the first part of the show. And I was talking about the risk management, the insurance, and how frustrated I get when people come and see me and they have the wrong types of insurance. They're spending a lot of money on insurance. And there's two problems. Number one, the agent wants to make a living. And if he sold the right type of insurance, in my opinion, which would be the cheapest term life insurance for the finite period of time that risk could be outstanding based on the age of the person, the age of the children, the debt outstanding, the way they save money, and so forth. You do a relatively inexpensive term life insurance policy with a 15, 20, or 30-year guarantee. Even $1 million worth, $2 million worth of insurance is relatively inexpensive. And but so often I see people come in and they got flexible premium adjustable. They've got universal life with guaranteed death benefits, and they've got whole life policy here, and then they've got some term on the side. It's almost like the insurance agent thought, the term is the right way to go, but I'm not going to make a living selling that stuff for $600-$700 for $1 million worth of insurance. But if I throw this $100,000 whole life on, or this $100,000 universal life on, and I sell it under this parameter that's going to do this wonderful thing for you, and it's going to get you some money back, and it's going to help you retire in the future, and it's going to, all the things that they talk about and the excuses they use to explain this to people as to why they should have this policy also, but it just happens to be that one's premium is $1,500 a year, and they're going to get a $1,500 commission on it also. And so that's my opinion. Whether that's actually what goes on in the mind of the insurance agent, that's another thing. But that's the way I interpret it. And then you've got the consumer, and the consumer's thinking, gosh, I don't want to just spend $700 a year. And then if, statistically, there's unlikely to be anything to happen, and then I've just spent $10,000 over 20 years or $14,000 over 20 years. And that sounds like a waste of money. Well, that's the way insurance works. Insurance is supposed to be an expense. And you're supposed to, put that expense out so that if something happens, you're absolutely certain that the proper amount of cash comes into the family to help to deal with the risk of the situation. And so if you're out there listening and you're thinking, well, maybe I don't have the right insurance, you should go on to a website, a great website, findmyinsurance.com, findmyinsurance.com. Do some quotes and see. Compare it to what you have. Think about the time frame that your risk is outstanding. How old are your children? When will they be out of college? Am I saving? Will I be likely ready for retirement when I turn 60 or 65 years of age and so forth? And if the answer is that yes, then think about it. How long is it going to be until I get to that place? Is it 15 years or 20 years or 25 years? And quote to findmyinsurance.com, and I think you'll be surprised at what you find. We have many clients come see us, and they're always surprised at what we show them. We don't sell insurance. We just say, okay, this is what you ought to do, and then we go and help them find that. So that's the second one. And the third thing that we, in the practical, is that you have to review your estate documents during your lifetime, and then if something happens, the surviving spouse definitely has to review their estate documents and determine, is this really what we want to do? So you should always be prepared that your estate document. I can't tell you how many young couples who have children do not have a will. Well, most people don't want to deal with this issue. Most people don't want to think about who am I going to claim as to be the guardian of my children? Who do I want to manage the money? I don't even want to think about it. So And they just put it off. But you see, that's the worst thing that you can do, because if both mother and father were to pass away, God forbid that would ever happen, anybody who's listening, but if it were to happen, you wouldn't want to hear the consequences of what you would leave behind if you don't have a will. And it would not be out of the question that somebody's children could end up in foster care for a period of time until the courts can sort out who would be the guardian if you leave behind no will. Not to mention that the children's money that they would inherit would go to them all in a lump sum at 18 years of age. And it's not unlike most young couples. If you add the life insurance proceeds into the equation, those children could be getting something in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $1 million each. It is not unlikely scenario. And so you need a will. Get it done. Prepare, and if ever you're in a situation where your spouse has passed away, make sure you review your documents, and if you don't have documents, then make sure that you get them done so that you have clearly defined who you want to be the guardians, who you want to be the trustees, and so forth in your financial situation, in your family situation. Now, the fourth thing, then the practical, and then after this half hour, we're going to go on to a new topic as to what you learn. But in the fourth topic, and the practical, is, you know, you and your spouse should talk about what is the desires. What do I want you to, if something happened to me, would you stay in the place that you're currently living? Would you do something different? Would you downsize? Would you move back somewhere, or whatever the case may be? Would you continue to work? Would you go back to work? You know, what are your thought processes? What is the lifestyle that you would expect to happen? Because a lot of times what happens is when something like this happens and you've never talked about it, and all of a sudden it's very difficult for a period of time, maybe a year, 2-3 years, until that surviving spouse is going to be able to get through the grieving process and be able to begin to think about what is it that I'm going to, what am I going to do now? And if there was discussions and thoughts about that, it makes that transition a lot easier for the surviving spouse, for the family as a whole. And so I strongly encourage that you have those conversations with each other. And it's one of the things we are going to talk a little more about when we get back after the next break. But the last topic I wanted to talk about is something that's very important. Most people don't know, and that is that debt of one spouse who's passed away is not the obligation of the surviving spouse if they have never signed on to that debt obligation. And that is just a fact of the legal situation with estates and law. It's just the way that it is. So if my spouse were to pass away and she had a credit card in her name with a balance on it, and I've never signed on to that debt, I do not have to take money from other sources. Even if I got life insurance proceeds from policy that she owned, I do not have to take that money out and use it to pay off that credit card. That is extremely important, and yet these credit card companies will badger people to try to make them feel guilty and responsible for that debt. But be very careful and make sure you get good legal advice on those types of things before you ever consider paying off any debt after the passing of a spouse. Anyway, I have to take another pause. We're going to Nick Rehack in traffic, and we're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Take it away, Nick. Another one of my favorite all-time Christmas carols. So come, O come, Emmanuel. Anyway, we're here. It's Christmas Eve. This is Drew Tignanelli. We're doing a Christmas Eve show. And the reason we're doing the show tonight is talking about a topic that is very near and dear to me, and that is my friend who passed away this year unexpectedly just about a month ago. And I've got his sons here with me. And I've got Charlie and James and Tim. Right?
That's right.
There you go. See, James, go ahead, Tim. You have anything to say?
Nope, I'm good.
and Charlie over there, he's just recording.
That's right.
There you go. All right, Charlie. Anyway, so first part of the show, we did the practical side of the show. And the practical things that we do to be prepared and know that if that unexpected thing did happen, that your family will be able to carry on from a practical point of view. And I'll tell you, my friend was flawless in all of those areas. He had everything in line and did a fantastic job of preparing for the practical side of the equation. Now the other side of the equation is the spiritual side, and that is you never want to leave this world without knowing the Lord God Almighty. And Abraham knew the Lord. Isaac and Jacob knew the Lord. And David knew the Lord. Solomon knew the Lord. Samuel knew the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He knew the Lord. You know, Hezekiah knew the Lord. The Lord Jesus knew the Lord. The apostles knew the Lord. And my friend clearly knew the Lord. He knew him very well, and it was an incredibly, he just had a natural understanding and love for the Lord. No one should ever want to leave this world without knowing the Lord, because the interesting part of life that most people, when these types of things happen, they can't comprehend it, is because life is an antinomy. Now let me explain that. An antinomy means that you have two things that are absolutely true at the exact same time, two things that are absolutely true, but when they're brought together, they absolutely contradict each other, but yet together they make one absolute truth. So let me give you a great example of this. In the Christian faith, they say that there is only one God, but yet they say he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is an absolute antinomy. In and of themselves, they are both true statements, but they brought together, they make an absolute truth. That is an antinomy, and life is filled with antinomies. And if you don't understand that life is filled with antinomies, you will never be able to comprehend these things in your life when they happen. You will be bitter, you will be angry, you will be unable to deal with the things of life, the difficult things of life that come when these antinomies happen in your life, because you only have one side of the equation. And the one side of the equation that most men live with is that there is just this world. This is all there is. And if that is true, then you should be unhappy, and you should be angry, and you should be bitter when something like this happens, because there's nothing more. And now you are left with no hope whatsoever. In my world that I live in a world where there are two worlds that I live in at the exact same time. I live in a world that is physical, and I understand the physical world and the laws of physics, and I understand the practical things of the legal system of the world I live in, and the wife that I have, and the children, and the friends that I have, and the responsibilities that I have in this practical, physical world that I live in. But I also live in a spiritual world at the exact same same time. The world that is full of good and evil, the world that has laws and rules, and they go by the laws and rules of the Lord God Almighty. And I have to understand those rules and those laws. And I have to understand that when I leave this physical world, I am going to be absolutely living in that spiritual world. And how I lived my life in this physical world is going to absolutely determine how I'm going to live my life into this spiritual world that I live in. This is not the end of the world. I am absolutely certain about that. There is not a question in my mind. And whether I can prove that to somebody who disagrees with me is irrelevant. It is totally irrelevant. What is relevant is that it is true. And that this is not the only part. And so I can understand when these things happen. It doesn't mean that you don't have the sorrow and the sense of grief and the sense of loss that other people have, but you can put it into a context and understand that, as David said, my life in this world is but a breath. What he was saying is that time, the world of time, the world that God thrust man into at the time of leaving the Garden of Eden, God thrust man into a practical world of time. And that time is extremely short. Whether you live one day or 125 years is totally irrelevant, because it is but a breath. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how fast time flies by. It is amazing how fast time flies. I was just thinking 2 or 3 weeks ago about doing the show, and here I am today doing the show. And you know, before I think about it, it'll be Christmas next year. And I'll be sitting there thinking, gosh, it was Christmas last year. I remember doing the show with the boys. That was a great time. I enjoyed that. And then, you know, there will be another day, and I'll wake up, and I'll be 70 years old. And I'm thinking, gosh, I remember, you know, 20-some years ago doing the show. And then one day I will be on my deathbed, and it'll be but a breath. It'll be just a flash of time that just flipped, that immediately passed by. But when I live my life also understanding that this world that is but a breath will also lead into a world that is much longer, it is the world that God intended us to live in. It is the world of eternity. Now, it's very different, and I have to think about it from a totally different perspective, that how I live my life in this world is going to affect this world, is going to really last for a long, long, long time, and I better be prepared for it. And this time in my life is the best time to be prepared for it. And you know, I think that most people have a hard time with even people of religious faith, let's put it, because in many ways, people that I meet that are religious really only kind of hope that this is true. They believe, but they sort of believe like they believe in aliens from outer space. You know, it's like, I believe in extraterrestrial beings, and I believe in God. And the question you have to ask yourself is, do you know that to be true, or is that just something you're hoping for? And then when you hear people who have no faith whatsoever say to you, well, that's just a crutch that you use, you just want to hope that that's true. And, you know, that is a difficult place to be in if you're only believing in the sense of a hope that you think it might be there, but you're not really sure. The beauty of my friend is that he was absolutely confident of what the future held. He was absolutely confident what was on the other side of the veil of this physical world that we lived in. It was not a belief that he had. It was a knowledge that he has. And one of the beauties of my friend is that he left behind children and a spouse that are absolutely certain also of what is there, and that he is as much alive with them here today as he was when he was with them in this physical world just a month or so ago. And that is something that is an antinomy, that if you don't understand it, it is going to be extremely difficult to get through these types of difficult times in our lives. I'm going to take one more pause, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to wrap up this Christmas Eve show. But right now, are we Jeff Marr with weather, and then we're going to come back with money, riches, and wealth. Take it away, Jeff. So we're back with Money, Riches, and Wealth here on Christmas Eve, and we're doing a special show. I'm here live, and we're doing a special show, as I was saying. And the show's topic is, what do you learn when your best friend unexpectedly passes away? And we talked about the practical things first, and then in the last segment, we were talking about the spiritual issues and about don't leave this world without knowing the Lord God Almighty. Without the praises of the Lord in your heart was the second part of our discussion, and how life is an antinomy, that two things that are impossible to be true. I'll give you another antinomy that's just a practical thing, and, you know, this is a financial show, so I'll give you this one. So there's a big argument. Is the market efficient or the market inefficient? Which is it? And there's a big debate there. You got a whole bunch of people say it's inefficient, and then you got a whole bunch of people saying it's efficient. And the answer is that it is absolutely both at the exact same time. It is efficient and inefficient all at the same time. And unless you understand that, you will never understand the markets. And you say, well, how can it be efficient and inefficient all at the same time? Well, because as Warren Buffett said very, very clearly, he said on a day-to-day basis, the market is a voting machine, but over time it is a weighing machine. So there's two markets. The market you see on a daily basis, that's the voting machine. Boom, boom, boom. I like Apple. I don't like Apple. I love Amazon. I don't like Amazon, you know, and you see that. It goes on day and day, voting machine. And that's the inefficient side of the market. On the other side of the market is the weighing machine. That's the efficient part of the market. Over time, as people make their votes, you know, whether whatever reason they vote, the market comes in and efficiently brings that back to true value. Sometimes it takes a second, sometimes it takes a minute, sometimes it takes an hour, sometimes it takes weeks, sometimes it takes years, and sometimes it might take a decade for a stock to be brought back to efficiency, but it will always be brought back to efficiency sooner or later. That is the market that is both inefficient and efficient all at the exact same time, and your investment philosophies must follow through on that. So the concept is that the world is full of these antinomies, and the antinomy that we live with to be able to understand when these difficult things happen in our lives is that we live in both a spiritual world and a physical world at the exact same time. Then you need to learn and understand what the spiritual world is that the Lord God Almighty rules and reigns over, as well as the physical world that man is living in and dominates. Now, the Lord God Almighty is sovereign over both of them, but he is the God of the spiritual world, and that's the world that is his world that he's inviting us into when we leave this earth and we go into that spiritual world. And how we live our life in this world will absolutely determine how we live our life in that world. And it is extremely important that you understand the spiritual world. And as you become to understanding the spiritual world, you will understand more about how things around you are happening. And one of the things that we have to understand is the concept of how to speak love and life into people. And here we are, Christmas time, and we're going to be gathering together with family, and I want to speak this word to you. I want you to think about what conversation you have with your family during Christmas time. And here's what you're going to find if you're cognizant of what you're going to be communicating with each other. It is going to be a very shallow, superficial conversation with everyone. It is going to be unlikely, unless your family is very unusual, that you have learned to take the time to stop and speak deeply words of love and honor and appreciation into your family. Your conversation will be more, "Hi, how you doing? Look, it's great. You know, oh, you know, a little bit of sports, a little bit of economics, a little bit of politics, a little bit of this, a little bit of that." And when you leave, you will realize that you had a good time because you were with family. You had a good time because you might have laughed and so forth. But ultimately, it was a superficial conversation. And that's what I experienced all along. A lot of my life, I've experienced superficial conversations. And when I got to know the Lord God Almighty, I've always made an effort to stop when I'm with my family and make sure that there is conversation that speaks words of love and life into those in our family. And many times, depending on the group, sometimes it's difficult, you know, because they're uncomfortable around it. Many people are uncomfortable. My friend was the maestro of speaking words of love and life into people. He knew how to do it better than anyone I think I've ever met in my entire life. The man knew and still does know, because as I said, he is alive as very much alive today and very much with us as he was physically just a month or so ago. And that brings me to the conclusion of this show, the last 4 minutes of the show, or 3 minutes, and I very specifically chose the songs tonight because the first one was my favorite Christmas carol, and the second one and the third one, O Come Emmanuel and Joy to the World, those are two Christmas carols that speak about something to come, not something that was. Most people think Joy to the World, O Come, O Come Emmanuel, they're Christmas songs, they're about, you know, Christ born 2,000 years ago, but if you listen to the words, you will understand that those songs are very much about the second coming, or as the Jewish people believe, what they're still looking for, the first coming of Christ. And the thing that is so important that we talk about the second coming is that I believe wholeheartedly that we are approaching that end time of this world, and the time where God has prophesied as to what will happen. He prophesied it through Zechariah, he prophesied it through Ezekiel, he prophesied it through Isaiah, he prophesied it through the Apostle John in the book of Revelations, and, you know, of what's going to happen in the future. And I believe that we are truly, truly within one generation of the end of this world, the end times, the second coming or the first coming of the Messiah, whatever you believe is what we are headed for now. Israel is once again a nation. What is the chances that happened? That was prophesied thousands of years ago that it would happen, and here it is today. 1946, I believe, or 47, you know, Israel becomes a nation. We're at a place where nowhere in history have we ever had language come together the way it is nowadays. Whether I'm English speaking, Spanish speaking, Chinese speaking, I can pretty much understand each other with just a Google app or something. I can communicate with people extremely easily in today's world. Technology is going off the charts. Man is very close to coming up with cures for many diseases and being able to raise farther and further the life expectancy of mankind. As we see this happening, you see that the end times are very close, the second coming. And so my prayer for you, everyone out there that may be listening, my prayer is that you would know the Lord God, just like Daniel said, that when these times come, it is going to be important that you know your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in His name, I pray that blessing upon you, that you would know the Lord God. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Radio 680, WCBM.